salvation will never touch me. No, you're still a carrier. It can touch you. Beware. Now is the time to really beware, because you've been given this place to walk, a line to walk. It's this line between the holiness of God and understanding sin. You really understand sin now, and you understand the cost because of the cross. It reminds us of the great cost. Abraham's fear threatened the promised blessing. In verse 2, the blessing is going to come through Sarah, and she's been dragged away by the king of Gerar. The son is supposed to be born this year. She might even be pregnant at this moment. Obviously not showing, but what's going to happen to God's promise? Because Abram didn't trust God, because he relied on this old half-lie that he and his wife have been telling all these years. And what about the blessing that Abram's supposed to be a blessing to all the nations? And look how he blesses Abimelech. Abimelech goes to bed that night, and he has a dream. Verse 3, God comes to him and says, "You're a dead man, because you have taken another man's wife." I love the comparison here that Scripture continually gives us. Here's what faith looks like, and here's what a lack of faith looks like. Here's what a person who believes in God looks like, and here's what a person who doesn't believe in God looks like. But now what God does is he scrambles this up a little bit, because we see a man of integrity, and we see a liar. The liar is the one who's trusted in God, and the man of integrity is a man who doesn't know God, who's in fact dead in his sin. Look at his integrity. Abimelech says, "I've not touched her." Even Moses, as a narrator, before Abimelech begins speaking, says in verse 4, he had not approached her. He had not touched her. So he said, "Lord, why would you destroy a nation?" This is familiar. We've already read this in the last chapter when Abraham said, "God, would you wipe away the righteous along with the wicked in Sodom and Gomorrah? You're a just God. Why would you do that?" And now we have this unjust man, a sinner, an idol worshiper, saying, "Lord, would you really destroy the wicked and the righteous in the same way?" He's making a very Abrahamic appeal. And he says, Abraham said that she was his sister, and even she said, "He's my brother. I have a clear conscience. I have clean hands." He literally says, I've got integrity in my heart, and my hands are innocent. And God replies, "I know. I've seen it. I know that you did this with a clear conscience." So here's our second point. Good people are dead in sin without faith in Jesus. There are a lot of good people out there, and we must not be surprised about this. Nor should we be surprised when we see a lot of Christians who are doing bad things. We shouldn't be dismayed. We should just say we understand sin and the sinful nature. There's a lot of good people doing good things out there who have not trusted in Jesus Christ, and we see that with Abimelech. But what does the book of John say? You all know John 3:16 and 17, for God's sinners. The word saved is good. It's in the Bible, but let's replace it this morning with something else. Somebody says, are you saved? You say yes. Next time you ask somebody if they're saved, why don't you use the word forgiven? Have you been forgiven? Because that's what saved is. A lot of times we think, well, I'm saved. Saved from, and then we have a long list of things we could think of. Sin, death, condemnation. But forgiven, inside that word, contains all of that. Forgiven. It implies forgiven. It implies guilt. God uses forgiven people to lead others who need that forgiveness to Jesus. You know, it's interesting. God doesn't wait for Abraham to be perfect. Rather, God doesn't perfect us and then use us. Rather, he perfects us as he uses us. God's going to use Abraham here in his mess. He's sitting here in his dirty diaper, and God's going to say, I'm not waiting for you to get cleaned up. I got a job for you to do. You're on mission. You're still going to be a blessing to these nations, even though you've biffed it, even though you've caused yourself to have egg on your face, even though Abimelech hates you at this moment because he's a dead man because of you. True repentance requires humility. And that's what God is calling of Abimelech in this instance. That's what he's calling of you and what he calls of me. We have to be more concerned about humbling ourselves before God and before others rather than looking perfect. Our final point is this. Salvation by faith is not undone by my sinful patterns. Salvation by faith is not undone by my sinful patterns. So this passage is both convicting and encouraging. It's convicting as we look at Abimelech. And we could think it to be discouraging as we look at Abraham, but this is such a great picture of each one of us because none of us have it down yet. And we're not going to as long as our feet are walking on this earth. Even when you're being pushed along on wheels, you still are going to struggle. You're still going to have impartial perfection. But the perfection that counts is not based on my works or your works, but on the person of Jesus Christ and his finished work. But he still calls us to put effort in. He calls us to walk the line. But it's not a line of works, but a line of faith. And so when your works crumble, when you fail, don't take yourself so seriously that you just want to throw in the towel and give up. Just learn to laugh at yourself and say, yeah. You might be serious laughter, depending on what kind of tripping up you've done. But you look at yourself and you say, yeah, God's word is true. I'm a sinner. I'm forgiven, and I still need Jesus today. And I'm going to trust in him today. Thank you, Lord, for that failure. Thank you, Lord, that I had a trial. Even if I didn't come through it very well, Lord, I thank you for the trial because you're reminding me that I need you. I need you as much today as I did on that first day when I trusted you as my Lord and Savior at the age of 4 or 10 or 20 or 25 or 55 or 75. It's never too late to need Jesus and be reminded that you need Jesus. So Abraham is confronted here. And I love how Abimelech confronts him. He says it multiple times. How is it that who does this? That's really what Abimelech is saying. Who does this? Look at verse 9. What have you done to us? What did I do to deserve this? You have done this thing to me that should never be done. Who does this? Abimelech then asked Abram the real important question. What happened to you, or what did you encounter, or really, why? What circumstances caused you to do this? What were you thinking? What was your motivation? And so, this is Abraham nobody loves God. And on one hand, we're making a good observation about what we see. Let's not be so arrogant as to think we can see inside the hearts of men and the hearts of women, because only God can do that. Let us be careful how we judge, because how we judge may not affect them, but it will affect our decisions. And Abraham's miscalculation here on two fronts causes him to cross that line and fail to trust God. Number one, he makes a judgment statement about these people. He doesn't know that Abimelech, even inside his cultural constraints there, he's actually an honest man. And he also doesn't remember to go to God for direction. And he doesn't remember the lesson learned from 20-some years ago. Because he's walking out of been there, done that attitude. Abraham confesses. He's like, well, she's my half-sister, and so I really wasn't telling a full lie. It was a half lie. My friends, the point here for us is half lies are worse than whole lies. Because you're manipulating the truth. You're thinking even more that you can get away with something. Because it's a half lie. You're giving yourself some half righteousness. But there's no righteousness before God. None. At least the whole lie in your mind, you'd be saying, oh man, this is a lie. I mean, even if you're self-deceived. But a half lie, I know it's wrong, but I know half of it's true. I mean, this is what we do. We convince ourselves that it's okay. And so he's been doing this since before he started following God. That's what he said. He said, before we started following God, we knew we'd come into strange places. And I can see Abraham's thinking here, because you're going into a culture where if somebody sees your wife at the age of 75 or 90 and says, wow, she's hot, are you guys married? And if Abraham comes and says, no, that's my sister, then they will offer him, as the head of the family, a bride price. Can we take her? And here's the bride price. And he, as the head of the family, in most cultures here, with people equal or lesser to him, he could say no, and that would be respected. Every now and then you run into a king who doesn't care. Kings can take whomever they want. And that's, you know, it's not every day you run into a king like this, and that's what happens. And so the plan has probably worked. He's probably done this more than just twice, and it's probably worked well for him. That's why he keeps using it. But we need to really guard our hearts. We need to really look at ourselves in the mirror of Scripture, in the light of God's Word, and really understand that you're going to crash and burn if you keep on doing the same thing, trusting in your own efforts, or going back to that pig trough of sin. I don't know what it is, ladies. I don't know what it is, men. Maybe it's how you handle your finances. Maybe it's what your eyes are looking at. Maybe it's the gossip coming out of your mouth. Maybe it's how you backtalk others. Maybe it's how you talk about people when they're not around. Kids, maybe it's how you don't obey your parents the first time. Maybe it's your household management. Maybe it's your finances at work. Whatever it might be, God's going to cause all of this to be laid bare and exposed one day. But if you want to go to him and humble yourself before him and say, Lord, I don't see the solution, but I know that you're the solution. That's what God wants you to do, to see him as the solution. Confess your need, confess your sin. Abraham's doing it, even though it sounds still a little like he's offering excuses. But that's it. We're done. God says that's enough. Your perfection is not required, even in the repentance. Just speak it out to God. Trust him. Then Abimelech, and the reason for that is a holy God cannot bless self-focused, faithless living. A holy God, Kadesh, will not bless you when you're all wrapped up about yourself. He's not going to bless you and use you to bless others when you're not walking in faith. You put up a barrier. God says he opposes the proud.